This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C. Shazana Mokhtar and I'm Wong Shaoning. It's 7:05, Wednesday, the 9th of March. Let's have a quick recap of how global markets closed yesterday.
Well, you can forget about Blue Ocean strategy because we're entirely in the red. The Dow is down 0.6%, S&P 500 down 0.7%, NASDAQ down 0.3%. You cross over to Asia, it's all in the red as well. Nikkei down 1.7%, Hang Seng in negative territory 1.4%, Shanghai down 2.4%, Singapore STI down 1.2%, and unfortunately back home as well, FBM KLCI down 1.8%.
Yeah, a lot of heavy selling across the board. But to tell us where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda. Nice to speak to you again, Jeffrey. It's been a while, but you know, you seem to have ushered in a horrible period for markets because there's been a huge equity sell-off in US and even in Asia. So what advice are you giving investors at this moment?
Yeah, good morning. Look, it's definitely a defensive period. There's only so much that investors can really do to shield themselves from the shocks that are running around the world at the moment. And precious metals is one of my favourites in this situation, as are perhaps companies that are facing directly the commodity and energy space. But otherwise, you probably want to be perhaps a bit longer in cash at the moment than you normally would be until everything settles down, whenever that may be.
But we do expect the US economy to remain relatively robust in the short term or not? And if that's the case, are there some buying opportunities there?
Look, yeah, there's no magic panacea for this or some copybook to deal with this. We haven't seen stagflation in the world economy since the 1970s, really. And it wasn't a great time for equities then either. I think this market this year, particularly even before the Russia-Ukraine situation, we were looking at monetary policy normalizations by central banks around the world, and it was going to be a more challenging market. I think we've become programmed to buying everything, and it always goes up over the last 2 years because of what the central banks have been doing through the pandemic. That's well and truly come to an end. There'll be winners even in recessions, and I suspect that will be the case this time as well.
And one winner that seems to be popping up is gold. This morning, $2,050 an ounce. Where do you see this rally going? Does it still have legs?
Yeah, this one I've been anticipating for a couple of days now. I thought it would probably do some work around $2,000 mark just to get through some barrier option interest. And once it did, it would jump. And that's what's happened overnight. I believe that we're going to see 2,100 initially, and then we're going to move on to new all-time highs. If anything's going to win in this environment, it will be precious metals such as gold. Stagflationary environments, along with wars, what gold was made for. So I think precious metals in this environment will continue to outperform.
So, Jeff, you know, Malaysia opened its borders or plans to open its borders April 1st. So, you know, one expects beneficiaries to be like Asian airlines, like Cathay Pacific and Singapore Airlines, but they have to now contend with sky-high oil prices, right, and geopolitical concerns. So, growing demand, but a lot of pressure on the cost side. What's your take on the travel industry, especially these airlines?
Yeah, the blows keep coming for the travel industry, don't they? The saying goes that if you want to make a small fortune and then have a large fortune and buy an airline. And I think that's definitely been the case. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. And look, I think Singapore Airlines and to a certain extent Malaysian Airlines are a place to still recover, perhaps at a slower price, because I think there's so much pent-up demand out there to go travelling that people are prepared to pay much higher ticket prices to achieve that. So in that case, I'm not anticipating some major retreat in the airline recovery side of things from the regional space, so to speak. Cathay Pacific remains a basket case. It's only running at 2% capacity, I believe. It's losing $200 million a month, and that's because of Hong Kong's COVID zero policies. You can't get in. To a certain extent, you can't even get out now. They're carrying no passenger traffic, just freight. And so I think that one is definitely one to to avoid it. It's existing basically on the government purse at the moment. But certainly Singapore Airlines and some of the Malaysian airlines should continue to recover despite the price increases.
And if we stay on the topic of oil, Jeff, can you give us an indication of what other sectors could be, you know, perhaps even more negatively impacted? We know aviation is one, though.
Yeah, definitely. I think consumer discretionary will be one of them as well. I mean, I don't think it'll be a great environment to be buying that Hermes bag down the road at the Flash shopping mall and things like that. I know that'll probably give you a few heartbeats there, but, you know, the things that we don't need to buy are usually the things that go when costs rise. Extravagantly. So I think, yeah, definitely consumer discretionary, probably automotive as well, automotive manufacturers and, you know, car dealerships and things. I can't see them doing too well in this environment. It's going to be companies that still maintain pricing power, even if costs rise. So, you know, I guess to a certain extent, if they're not regulated, utilities, for example, petrol companies, you know, the stuff that you need to buy no matter what is going on in the world, the companies that are facing that space are the ones that are going to do well in this environment.
And, you know, getting a perspective on US dollar, right? King dollar, isn't it? Strength to strength. You know, do you see that general sell-off for Asian currencies to persist?
Yeah, I think there's going to be challenges here for Asian currencies, particularly in the first half of the year. I believe the Federal Reserve will continue normalizing monetary policy. So they're going to keep hiking rates. But we've seen in Asia through this whole pandemic that there has been some modestly stagflationary factors going on in quite a few parts of Asia, notably the Philippines and India. And central banks have shown a tolerance for that. And I think that will continue in Asia. So my guess is that Asian central banks will put growth and employment ahead of rising costs. That will be negative, I believe, for Asian equities and for Asian currencies over the next 6 months, particularly as the Fed will probably hike at least two times, possibly three, in the first half of this year.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda, giving us his views on where global markets are heading. And he's basically telling us to get ready for this rather volatile ride.
Yeah, it's a very interesting perspective on Asian currencies, isn't it? Because we are beginning to open up. Economies are starting to recover. And I don't think Asian central banks will want to dampen that recovery, at the expense of currency, isn't it?
Yes, because the positive carry trade will actually narrow over time and there might be an outflow from EM into DM. But actually, we'll be discussing this a little bit more in detail at 9 a.m. with Saktiandi Supat, who's the head of Forex Research at Maybank. So do tune in. He's going to give us maybe even levels in terms of what to expect for US dollar, ringgit, pound and euro. But Shaz, what caught your ear?
What caught my ear in Jeff's discussion just now, I noticed that he said gold could reach $2,100, and I think it broke the $2,000 barrier overnight. So we'll see how far it goes with the geopolitical tensions running on at the moment. He also spoke about the different industries that could be impacted by oil, not just airlines may still be sheltered, but other consumer discretionary items may not be so much. So,
he pointed out Xiaoning's favorite brand.
You guys are giving me away. One favorite brand of all of us in the studio, except for you, Philip C, is Apple, because they unveiled new releases for the year and introduced its most prolific year yet for new product releases. So there's a new 5G version of its low-end iPhone SE and the iPad Air tablet, and a new Apple processor named M1 Ultra. I don't know. Y'all are all like Apple fanboys, right? Except for me. I'm not such a big one. Shazana, you... Definitely.
I have been sucked into the Apple universe. Yes, I think most of my products are Apple. A lot of exciting things that they've announced, especially the fact that they're introducing 5G versions of their low-end iPhone SE and iPad Air tablets. So 5G is becoming more ingrained into their product line. Don't forget that smartphones still represents the biggest moneymaker for Apple. Yeah. It brings over half the revenue in the last fiscal year, or that's about $192 billion US dollars if you can kind of fathom than that. So they are looking to keep up with its record-setting holiday quarter that has exceeded Wall Street's expectations, building up to that end of the year season. It's only March now, though, but I guess everyone can start saving from now, essentially.
I will begin to start saving. But what I think caught my attention was their new Apple processor, M1 Ultra. I think this really is an intention to shift away from its over-dependence from external semicon chip providers like Intel. I think that's a reflection of the supply chain disruptions that across the industry, consumer electronics have had to deal with. So perhaps they've decided to take things to their own hands since they are one of the largest phone makers in the world.
Exactly.
And might as well just go up the value chain a bit.
Yeah, so I see two things. One for them is that, you know, when they launch this iPhone SE, they do want to appeal to maybe the Android space and steal a bit of market share from them. The other thing is that, you know, I'm curious, and they didn't really mention this when they unveiled their products, in terms of the services, the subscription, how much of that is really growing, right? Because you need to have two pillars of growth, not just hardware, but also their own version of software, which is subscription, because it needs to go hand in hand. So I'm also curious in September what they will be unveiling, because normally that's the big launch. So we'll be watching this space. And are you getting the phone, Philip?
I'm debating about it, but I know one of the key things about getting the phone is that once you get in, you get sucked into the ecosystem, isn't it? That basically all
the cult, you mean?
The cult. No, not necessarily the cult, but all the other services that come with it, right? Apple TV and such. Because they're also building up those kind of services, as you were mentioning, right? Like they also made announcements to include Major League Baseball games. I really wonder whether football will be next when they start, you know, adding more content to their TV Plus streaming services.
I wonder whether who's going to be the first one in the room to get the car eventually. That's the ultimate goal, right? But very quickly, the London Metal Exchange has actually suspended nickel trading and cancelled trades on Tuesday. This is because nickel prices rose from around $50,000 a ton to $100,000. And the London Metal Exchange says they have no firm reopening date given the uncertainties in the broader market. This is a shock to me.
This is a shock and shocker because, you know, nickel is so key for battery production, which is key for things like EVs and such. So, you know, we had a conversation about how this situation is affecting the green revolution and green march. So even this rise in nickel prices would also put a dent on that as well.
Well, a story that we'll be watching very closely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.